Welcome to Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill, and after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. We are on episode 49, and I have a really wonderful conversation to share with you today. But before that, I wanted to cover a couple of things with you. One is that yesterday I hosted a virtual conversation with two of my dear friends and fellow female entrepreneurs, Alyssa Kerbel, the founder of Kind Human Club, and Catherine Choi, the founder of So Young. And we had an incredible conversation about what can happen in just 1 year when you are intentional about your choices, when you are open to possibility, and when you're willing to embrace the challenges that come before you. And within 1 year, we got to get an inside glimpse at what had changed for them in the year since their first podcast conversations with me 1 year ago. So Alyssa and Catherine were actually my first podcast guests. And so it's really incredible to see how they've evolved, how their lives have evolved over the last year. That episode is going to be shared with you next week as part of my 50th episode celebrations. I'm so excited to share that with you. And before we get into today's episode, which is with a very special guest, I wanted to announce my next workshop series, which begins on Monday, May 13th. And I'm so excited about this workshop series because I have been really listening to you, to the conversations we're having, to the things that you long for, to what you feel holds you back, to how you want to feel. And that has helped me create this beautiful experience for you that kicks off on Monday, May 13th. And this workshop is for women who want to switch gears in their professional career, but worry that somehow it's too late. So you have likely seen a lot of success in your life. You have checked a lot of those boxes, but you really dream of doing more fulfilling, meaningful work and making a greater impact. And yet, there is a lot of worry tied up in that desire. You might feel like you have too much on the line to make the leap. Maybe you feel like you have too many responsibilities. And whether it's that you want to start your own business or reinvent your existing business or make a massive career transition, this workshop is for you. I am inviting you to step into all you are. This is your life, your one and only journey on this spinning blue ball in a vast universe. And I don't take that lightly. I don't take that lightly based on some really hard things that I've gone through in my own life that have forced me to face this short journey that we're on and really why we're here. And I believe that it is to become fully expressed, to step fully into our gifts, to make a real contribution to the world around us through who we are. And I believe that for every one of you. So in this workshop, we are going to get crystal clear on what you want for your one and only life. I am going to walk you through facing your deepest fears so they are no longer calling the shots. As I say, let's move fear into the back seat. Fear does not deserve the driver's seat. And then we're also going to learn the A to Z of navigating this transition. So not just the what and the why, but the how. How are we going to navigate the transition from where you are now to where you want to be? The link to join and to learn more about this workshop, including what we'll be covering every day, is in the show notes. You can also go to allyouare.ca/2weeks notice, 2-weeks.notice, and really because I want you to give 2 weeks notice to what no longer serves you, right? Let's just give our 2 weeks notice and move on. So let's do that together. And I'm excited to see you on May 13th. Now, to get started on this week's episode, this week we welcome Amanda Aaron. Amanda is the host of Country House Hunters Canada that airs on CTV Life Channel and the A&E Network through Reese Witherspoon's network, Hello Sunshine. Amanda is a creative director, a TV host, a mom of five. She was on the Marilyn Dennis Show here in Canada for the last decade or more. Maybe it's about a decade because Marilyn retired just a couple of years ago. And that was after participating in a TV design contest in 2012, if you can believe it. That contest changed Amanda's life in so many ways, just so much more than just beyond her career. It changed her relationship. It changed her identity. It changed her self-image. It changed the direction of where she was going completely. And Amanda is so lovely and has so much radiance and wisdom. And I know you are really going to love this conversation and be inspired and want to go follow Amanda immediately. So without further ado, let's tune in to my conversation with Amanda. Welcome, Amanda, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so happy to have you here. You know, I just shared a little bit about you leading into this conversation with our listeners. And I just was reflecting on the fact that you and I met at an event several years ago now, and I remember hearing you share your story. And I think for you, it was one of the first times you had shared it so openly and vulnerably, and it was at an event filled with women in a pretty big space. And I was so moved by your story, and it resonated with me so much that I remember several months later writing an article that was inspired by it and wanting to share the lessons that I took away from your lived experience, you know? And so I am so happy to be able to actually talk with you about it and have you share with us, you know, that experience, but then also how life has evolved for you since then and all the things that you've learned. This podcast is obviously called Be All You Are. So I think you are such a beautiful example of someone who has stepped into all they are and I'm sure are continuing to go on that path. So Amanda, I would love if you could maybe start by sharing your journey to the work that you do now. Because I remember when I heard that story, I was just so blown away.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction. I can say that my path is certainly not a straight path by any means. There have been many diversions. There have been mountains. There have been alleyways. There have been areas I've had to tread water, let me say. So I think anytime there's sort of a big change in our life, those paths don't generally come easy. And I think for you and I, that's one thing that we definitely share together, is that a portion of our change was derived by sort of life circumstances. So I think many of us can relate to having to be somewhat forced into making change. And that can be a literal forced situation where someone leaves you in a relationship and you have to like pull yourself together. Or it can be my case where the realization of the relationship that I was in was so dark that I had to force that change upon myself. And in each of those scenarios, they're not easy paths. Mm-hmm. So to make this less than a 4-hour movie about how I got here, I'm going to try to speed it up. Mm-hmm. Essentially, I was in a 15-year marriage. And by all accounts, it seemed like I was very happy from an outsider's perspective. And I would say that within that marriage, I had all the checked boxes that people would want. I had a handsome husband, children that are healthy, a nice home that I had custom built, and I was working in the design industry at that time. So by all accounts, I should be fulfilled, but I was not. For the last few years of my marriage, I really felt that I didn't have a voice, that I was not being heard within my creative space for sure. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was very downplayed. And it happened to be, whether this resonates with someone or not, I happened to be in a very religious marriage with a very religious dominating family. So in the times that I wanted to be my authentic self, which is cut my hair short, or wear vibrant clothes like that, that was like this, that certainly was not celebrated in that relationship. So when I went outside my shell at the mercy of my mother, like begging me to do this, I applied to be on the Marilyn Dennis Show. After getting awarded a space on that show, I was so thrilled. I couldn't believe that someone like me would have an opportunity like that. Mm-hmm. And instantly, my husband and his family did not like the idea. They were not supportive of the idea. They didn't want me to do it. I was fearful of doing it because of backlash within the family. But I persevered anyway. And after a few years of doing the show and fighting my husband and family on it, I decided that I had to make a change for myself and continue my career and let that marriage go, which is what I did. Mm-hmm. And because I did that, I was able to be free in the sense, in the true energy sense, I suppose, or the true physical sense of not being told continuously how to live and what to do. I was able to express myself, and I did that by cutting my hair shorter. I dyed it blonder. I got Botox. I got flashy clothes. I learned how to do my makeup differently. And then, you know, it continued to be an argument within that family. So I had to keep pushing myself forward to make sure that I aligned myself with people who really, actually did celebrate my talents in design. And, so through the Marilyn Dennis Show, I met lots of other amazing creative people, designers, you know, anything from like interiors to fashion designers, to architects, to foodies, to makeup and fashion people. And I realized that that was my element, that I had really fallen into a positive situation in my life. And I quickly knew that even though it was a difficult path, it was absolutely the right path for me, because then I was able to share all the good things that were happening to me with mm-hmm. other people. And in turn, that made them feel better. And it started to be this sort of chain of happiness and mm-hmm. fulfillment for me and for other people. Mm-hmm. And so now fast forward about, you know, 10 years later, 10, 12 years, I'm actually married again. I've been married for 2 years now to a lovely, supportive man. Mm-hmm. He's definitely my best friend. My children are for the most part thriving. I still have a difficult relationship with a couple of my children who are very aligned with my past relationship and those sort of restrictive views. Mm-hmm. So sometimes in taking the path that's right for you, you have to be prepared that not everyone is going to share that joy.
Yes.
And so I run my design business full time now. I live in Toronto full time, which I love. I used to live in British Columbia, but Toronto is definitely for me. And I have so many great collaborations now. I've been on the Marilyn Show for 10, 12 years. That show just retired. Bless her, Marilyn's amazing. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm doing many more collaborations. So with paint companies, big box stores, with furniture, with paint products, with wallpapers, with fashion even. So my life and reinvention to this point continues. I sometimes wonder if that reinvention is ever going to sort of end. Is there an end for me? But I think it's a continuous process. Mm-hmm. But definitely for me, although the path was very, very difficult, and there are days when I look back and I can't believe I walked the path, it still is the best decision for me. And I'm such a stronger and better person for taking the road less traveled, so to speak.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I remember thinking how much bravery and courage it took to do that, right? And to like listen, as we talk about so much on the show, is listening to that inner voice. And in spite of all that like noise that is loud and scary, frankly, you know, like intimidating. And yeah, to then pursue that. And then I remember when you shared that story of like, you know, making those brave moves, but then how you almost felt like you needed to reinvent yourself from the outside in, because you knew what was going on inside of you, right? Like you knew that there was a part of you that like could see what your potential was and could see what you wanted to create. And maybe you didn't quite believe it yet, or maybe you like couldn't see what it would look like, but you saw that, you felt that inside of you. And it was almost like you said, well, I'm going to work from the outside in, like, you know, all those things you said. And I remember that being so interesting, like this idea that it's not just about this internal work, but it's also like looking at yourself in the mirror and matching what you starting to match what you feel on the inside to the outside.
That's such a really great point, because many people ask me like how you even get started.
Yeah.
And essentially, I feel like I was a closeted, confident person. Like in my mind, I wanted to be confident, but I was literally like in a closet of nervousness. And I think many of us can relate to that. And there's still definitely days when I'm nervous today. So for me, changing the outward appearance was somewhat the equivalent of putting on a costume that would reflect that confident person that I wanted to be. It didn't mean that I was automatically feeling that inside, because that has been a continuous, the confidence level is an ongoing and continuous path. I still, like I said, have days when I'm certainly nervous or I feel like I'm not good enough against someone else or whatever. So for me, the outside appearance was sort of the easiest way to put on a costume that would reflect that new Amanda. And there's still times today when I'm tired, I don't feel like up to doing the presentation that I'm going to do or something. And I'll say out loud, I have to go get ready to be that other Amanda.
Yeah.
So there's definitely two sides of me. And although they do intersect, when a less confident Amanda feels unsure of herself, it is literally like an alter ego that I have to call upon, who has strength, who's able to pull me up when I'm nervous. And so when I am looking to feel more confident, I just automatically go to putting the makeup on, to putting the clothes on for what that confident woman is going to wear and do that day. And it has very much helped me through that process. There are certainly photos that exist, of how I used to look. And when I look at those photos, I just see such a sad person. Even though I might be smiling in those photos, I feel like when I look at them, she's sad, like my aura was sad. And so now, yes, definitely taking inspiration from someone who maybe is dressing in a way that you find attractive or that you find comfortable, and sort of starting to mimic that. You know, I understand not everyone's going to run out and sort of cut their hair. I had longer brown hair, and first I cut it a bit shorter, then I got a few streaks, and then so I continued. I haven't always been this one. You know, in the clothing, it's like I was always just, you know, stretch pants and a t-shirt, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just needed to invent myself into somebody who dressed differently than I was already dressing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And did you find, Amanda, during that time that you were inspired by certain people, or was it very much self-guided? Like you knew that this was how, you know, this is what confidence looked like to you, or was there somebody that you were inspired by that kind of guided you there?
That's a really great question. I think in the time that I had this epiphany, I would have to say that certainly being in the Marilyn Dennis show environment was inspiring. Marilyn herself, because she's a woman entrepreneur, she's, you know, made an incredible career path for herself. It's hard not to be inspiring when you're in that space.
Yeah.
But as a result of that show, there were just so many people that were living authentically and making a living out of being like top makeup artist, top hairstylist, top food, you know, foodie and chef, models, other designers. So I don't think that it was all one person, but it was certainly that experience that helped me to understand that I am capable of that as well. You know, I'm capable of that level of success in a creative field. I have always used Pinterest as a way of compiling my thoughts. So even my thoughts related to fashion, I kind of think, okay, like what would a creative, color loving person like wear? And I'll like start to look at images of people's fashion and think, oh, okay, that woman on Pinterest, she wears that well. So I'm going to try to take from that and wear that well as, you know, in the same light. I've always liked to dress up. So I'm still a girl who like appreciates dresses a lot and dress jackets. I happen to be wearing denim today, but it's not always that I'm wearing denim. I do love dresses and pretty things. So that's going to be a continuous go-to style for me. And maybe it's the opposite of how I used to dress before, because it was very quiet colors, very mundane. Certainly pattern was not celebrated, that's for sure. And so maybe I'm just automatically going in the opposite direction, just like a nasty child. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just like, if you tell me to do this and I don't want to do it, I'm going to do the opposite, you know?
Yes, maybe it started that way. But I would say at this point, you've grown into it. So I don't think it's that anymore.
Thank you.
I think that this is so powerful, honestly, because it does relate back to how we see ourselves, right? And what we believe is possible for us and how we see ourselves stepping into that possibility. So I sort of want to invite women who are listening to this to, you know, I love how you said, what would a successful creative designer wear, right? And like asking yourself whatever you want to step into next, you know, in your life, in your career, whatever it is to ask yourself that similar question and think about how that person would show up differently and, you know, what they might wear or how they might present themselves. I think that's just, I'm so fascinated. I also love fashion and style and have worked in those industries. But I think for me, it's like less about the clothes. It's about how you wear them and how you're presenting yourself with them, you know?
I like that. I like that so much. It can be certainly very transformational. And I know we've seen this too, like in the impact, like even working in television, I've seen the impact when we do actual physical makeovers on people, because they start to see themselves in a different light for sure, you know? And so, you know, I end up relating that into my designs as well, because when I meet with clients, they don't feel in their current, that their current space is reflecting who they have become as people. That's really how we end up starting down a new path of like, maybe they had their space, whatever, 10 years ago and their careers have changed, the people they hang around change. Maybe they have changed their own fashion as well. And now their interiors are like, you know, not reflecting what their new person is now. They're like, well, now we are, we're like, you know, sexier. Now we're more dynamic, more, we're more well-traveled, like whatever they want to say. We make those changes in interiors as well. So I do think I'm a very good person to read what other people, what I'm trying, well, those feelings I'm trying to get out of people, which makes me powerful in design, because design is about how people want to feel. So is fashion about how people want to feel, you know?
That's right. I think that's absolutely right. It's like what you're wearing, but it's also your environment and how you are creating your environment. And I think that that is, it makes perfect sense that you would be so good at that. It really does. Amanda, I wanted to ask you to share maybe some of the biggest lessons that you've learned along your journey. I mean, your journey has been so incredible, and I know you're on a new show now and you're continuing to thrive as well in, you know, your design services and everything. So share some of the lessons that you've learned.
Well, thank you for the compliments. I'm definitely blushing. You know, I think most people would say that lessons learned are generally difficult. I wish I could like twirl in here and say that, oh yeah, that was easy. I sailed through that. I didn't. There were a lot of crushing lessons. And when I say crushing, crushing depression, overeating, overdrinking, not taking care of myself from a mental standpoint or a physical standpoint, there were certainly times when decisions I had to make were crushing decisions to make. Mm-hmm. And so I would say probably the biggest challenges have been to listen to yourself first. Mm-hmm. At this point in my life, when I'm going to make a change in my business or my personal life, I don't really let it be known to people until I'm already at the point of pulling the trigger on that mm-hmm. particular project or shift or pivot in my business, because I've learned that I really need to block other people out because I get nervous. I don't feel self-assured. So I have to really trust in those initial instincts. And in other times when I've gone against my instincts or my feelings in order to please someone else, it's always gone bad. You can never thrive by pleasing someone else. Mm-hmm. You can thrive by basically servicing someone else, like giving your best service and sharing your knowledge, mm-hmm. but you can't be your authentic self while trying to just please someone else. Mm-hmm. And that has been a very hard lesson because I thought that I could live in that space, but I can't. I cannot live in a space where I am trying to please someone else and be someone else to make them happy. And also serve my clients and serve my friends and my family and myself at the same capacity. Those two worlds cannot live together. Yeah. So the takeaway is to listen to yourself. And usually it's the first thing. It's usually the first thing that comes to my mind. If it's yes or no, or to do it, to not do it. It's so weird. We know, and we do an excellent job at like talking ourselves out of it. Mm-hmm. And then we get hurt in the end. So that intuition, especially as a woman, I think it is our superpower.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that so vulnerably. And I really love what you said about it being that first thing and how I think, as you said, for so many of us, we don't trust that first thing a lot of times, right? And so then we go down this questioning path or they're like asking a million people and Googling it and doing like all these things, right? When we really know what we want to do, like we do know.
It's like we literally talk ourselves out of it. I don't know why. Like, we'll just use all these tools. I heard a saying before, I'm not sure who said it, but it was that your inner self does not understand sarcasm. So when you say, "I'm so stupid," like your brain takes this as literal, that you are stupid. Or if you say like, "I could never pull that off," your brain takes it as like a literal command to not be able to pull it off. Wow. And it's fascinating to me. So I also had to I have to retrain myself to not say those things, not even jokingly. You cannot speak to yourself. You can't speak down to yourself, even jokingly.
I think that is so powerful and so important for all of us to hear, even myself included, because I think I'm actually pretty nice to myself most of the time, but it makes me think like, are there times where I'm like, I wish I could do that? Well, like even I wish I could do that. Like, well, you can do that. Instead, tell yourself you can do that. You can learn how to do that, right? You can find your way to do that.
I have actually used this as a way of sort of like propping myself up on days when I'm really tired. So if someone wants like an easy task to try, what I've done is instead of saying, "I'm so tired today," I'll just say, "I could use some rest." That's what I'll say to myself. And I have used this and tried it a few times now. And I swear to you, you feel less tired.
I feel like if we ended the podcast right here, there would be like so much value, because how many women say, "I'm so tired today"? Like every woman who's listening to this is saying to themselves, I say that like at least four times a week.
Yeah. So now you're going to say, I could use some rest.
I could use some rest. Yes. That's so good, Amanda. I love it. you know, you talked about that the importance of connecting to that inner voice and to your own intuition. Can you share a little bit about how you've developed your relationship with your intuition over time? Because I'm sure like in those, you know, younger years when it took a lot for you to listen and follow through when you found yourself in a position that wasn't serving you and that sort of went against who you were, but you were in it, right? So you had to like really, really like start to trust it to like where you are now. Can you share how you developed that relationship?
I love this question because it's still a question I struggle with. And I wish I could say that I made one mistake and then I learned from it and we moved on. But the truth is some of the mistakes, I made the same mistakes three times over. You know, like I three times over did not listen to my intuition. So for me, my intuition definitely comes, it literally comes from inside. And it's the strangest thing because I guess I pictured it before as like a voice from above. I don't know what I was picturing, but I actually at this point first like feel it before it's actual words. Mm-hmm. So I will walk into a room to meet a potential new client and instantly, I don't even think it's half second, I will feel. And then I will spend the rest of the time either talking myself into why I should work with them or talking myself out of why I should work with them. And so but really the answer that I needed was in those first seconds of meeting someone or shaking their hand. And I'm very much like a handshaker. I swear I can feel people's energy when I shake their hands at this point. So the biggest thing is to understand that our minds are generally trying to trick us. Like at any given time, it's our mind that is really playing the games with us. And what we do as women is so often we put like our mind first. And so we were listening to it. And like what you said is like, then we start Googling reasons to support our mind's bad idea, like why we should sign a contract where we're not getting paid enough or something, you know, versus our heart telling us that, you know, if we know though in our heart, if we're paid fairly, our best self is going to show up in this particular industry so we can get more projects with other people who are aligned with our ideas, you know, but we're very quick to talk ourselves out of it. So how to hone in on that? Sometimes I think that our intuition doesn't work as well when we're not well rested. Mm-hmm. I think that there are certain times in a day or a week that it's not even valuable to try to make a decision about something because you just, it's like physically, you just don't have it in you or emotionally or whatever. So there are times when I feel I've made the choice, but I will like say to myself, I'm going to sleep on this. Mm-hmm. If I still feel the same the next day after a good night's sleep, then it is still the right choice. Mm-hmm. So I try not to make decisions when I am not rested or if you have drinks in you, you're literally not the same person. It's not the time to sign a contract or move forward with something that you're on edge about for sure. So when all else fails, sleep on it. If you still feel the same, then certainly you can circle back to it. It's probably a good idea.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. That's great advice. And I know sometimes it really is that simple, right? To make sure that how are you feeling?
We really overcomplicate it. Yeah. But part of it is because women are smart. We're very intelligent. So we want to look at things from all different angles. And, you know, generally we're very level-headed. So we want to look at all of the different reasons and facts and gather information to try to siphon it down to what we think will be like a good choice society wise, or like our husband will think it's a good choice, or like our friends, like when you tell your friend this idea, will your friend think it's a good idea versus just like, what do you honestly think? But we're very good at, we're very level headed in that sense, which makes us powerful in many elements because we're capable of looking at many different points of view.
That's right.
But sometimes I think that can harm us in the sense we're just listening to too many sides of the coin, so to speak, rather than just our internal selves.
Yeah. And allowing the internal self to be first. And then, yes, we could still consider others, but by disregarding.
Not with that same level of, exactly. Right. We'll take into consideration, but we're not going to try to please all 15 of you.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I was having a conversation with someone recently about this idea that we can feel it in our bodies. It's like you said, you can feel when you walk into the room, like even before you shake someone's hand. And then when you shake someone's hand, you pick up on their energy. But we feel like, does this feel good? Does this, or does something feel off here? Like, it's like learning to trust those feelings more instead of being like, oh, I don't know what that's about. It's like, no, just like, sit with that, you know?
Absolutely. I think too, like, I don't want to make an excuse about it because I'm self-employed, but I feel like I work with a lot of self-employed people.
Yes.
And I think for us too, being entrepreneurs, we will second guess ourselves because of the business side of it. Cause we still have this practical side where we have to bring in money. It's still our job, right? So we still have to run our business. We still have other people who are depending on us to bring in money, all of that. So I think sometimes there is that balance where we're trying to navigate like the realistic, point that we can't just say no to just everything because we have to actually run our businesses, right? So like, what is that balance? So there are certainly times when I will maybe change the scope of work in order to have it be less work, but still work with the person. Yeah. I can look at them and go, okay, I'm still going to serve you well. I'm still going to do my best, but I know that energetically, I can only literally spend so much time with you. So I will reduce the scope and say, I'll still work with you but at a smaller amount. Yeah. And then there's certain people where you should just like run right out the door, you know?
Totally.
So I do understand there's this practical where we don't always have the luxury of saying, forget it.
Yeah, even this doesn't maybe feel good. I'm walking away, even though it's like a big opportunity. I love that because what you're basically saying is you're saying, let's work with our intuition. It's not like just, you know, necessarily being purely guided, but it's like working with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think part of it too is like when you know, when you know that this isn't really the right person for this project or whatever, but you're going to take on a portion of it for, you know, career advancement or money that's needed, or sometimes it's to like learn a lesson about what it's like to work with a difficult person. I mean, there's lessons that come with that. And certainly it's not something we don't want to make a career out of working with difficult people, but in doing that, we do end up being able to fine tune the people who are not nice to work with because we have that life experience, right? If we didn't have the life experience, you're almost like a, you know, like a 12-year-old not knowing what to do, how to see around that corner. So our life experience with difficult clients or difficult, you know, other coworkers or whatever, or difficult family members still does give us sort of a life course that no money can buy. We just learn it, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a very good point, right? There's skills that we learn through that experience. And there's like, when we're confronted with it next time, now we know something we didn't know.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's a very good point. Can you think of
this with my teenage daughters now. Like if I try to recount a situation with them, like maybe it's with a boy who wants to date them or whatever, they're 15 now. So if I try to explain the situation, they tell me that they understand, but I can tell they really don't, because until they have really been in a situation where they feel like that boy is not being faithful or he didn't somehow treat them right, they really don't understand until they feel it. So I think we're the same way, as we kind of, we have to walk the path as human beings in order to also understand what those negative feelings feel like, so that we can be sure to concentrate on those positive vibes.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Can you think of a time, Amanda, where you made a decision solely based on your intuition? Like you just went with it?
Absolutely. And I like shocked my mother. I totally shocked my mother.
I can't wait to hear it.
I had literally an epiphany. I was redoing my website to show some new work that I had done. And through the night, I woke up with this strong feeling that I have to change my name. And I was so convinced of this instantly. I didn't even second guess it. I did do the sleeping on it for like a day. Mm-hmm. And then I just quickly like started to Google and look at for inspiration at new last names. I started pulling together like different fonts that I liked. And then I didn't tell my mother that I was changing my name. I didn't tell anyone that I was changing my name until I had submitted the paperwork. Mm-hmm. So I changed to Amanda Aaron. Mm-hmm. And my thought process behind that was because I had a good sense that I was going to build an empire, and I did not want this empire to be built on my ex-husband's last name. So I changed it without telling anybody or asking anyone for advice. And I did get, I wouldn't say I got big pushback, but people were like, this is kind of weird. You know, like, are you on the run from the law? And I'm like, no. You know, like, I got this weird pushback. But I don't relate to my old name at all. So I get it. I get it if people want, when they change their full persona, why they change their name, or why singers go, you know, by certain stage names, because I think it's part of like changing your persona and showing who you want to present to the world. So I always did picture Amanda Aaron being what the foundation of this business would be built on. And then the business that I would pass along to my children would be definitely Amanda Aaron. So I did challenge my new husband to change his name to my last name. He's not quite there yet. So we're going to see if he'll...
Good for you for trying though, Amanda. I love it.
I'm going to keep on dropping hints about it.
Okay. I'm going to keep an eye out. I'm going to keep an eye out for that name change. That's so awesome. So this podcast is called Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening Podcast. And really what it is about is having these conversations of what it means to move into your 40s and into your 50s, and how life changes and how we get to know each other, and also helping women navigate some of the disruptive feelings that can come up at this age, right? Sometimes it's like, am I on the right career path? Is my relationship doesn't feel aligned? What is my purpose? Like, there's all these things that kind of come up around this age. And so I love asking guests who most of them tend to be within this range, you are experiencing, and if you feel comfortable sharing your age, that's fine too. But if you don't, that's okay. How you're experiencing.
I tell people I'm like 65 and they're like, oh my goodness, she looks amazing for her age. Like, I think people should lie up. I don't know why people say they're 25. Lie up. Right, people are like, holy smokes, have you seen how good she looks for 65?
I love it, Amanda.
Yeah. So, it is definitely, it's an interesting time. I have a cool perspective on that, on this age, because my grandmother is still with me and she is 101.
Wow.
And she's very well spoken and she's very clear mind, even her body, like, she's still very mobile. So I have the perspective of seeing myself. I'm almost at 50 years now, and I have literally what I will probably look and act like in another 50 years at 100. Mm-hmm. So that's eye-opening. For me personally, I think because I changed my persona later in life, I mean, I was around like 38, 35. Like, I didn't do this when I was 20. I do feel a little bit like a race against the clock, but I think that's a self-imposed thing. Like, nobody's telling me that. I think for some reason, I just feel that in myself, mostly because there's so much change I want to see in the world. I want to see change for women, change in business. I want to grow my business more and all of this. And I want to have a lot more life experiences. So at this point at 48, I work to like keep myself healthy and in shape, just so really I can continue to do the things for longer. I tell my kids I'm going to like live for such a long age that they better be prepared to take me to my hair appointments like when I'm 100.
It's so good. I love it.
I'd say like, don't allow me to have a mustache. Okay. Like, take me to hair appointments and face appointments. But for women at this stage who are transitioning into something different, whether it's a job or they're asking themselves, like, do I love my husband anymore or my partner? Maybe I don't. Maybe I want to start something new. I think it's because at this age, we have the luxury of having so much experience. No matter what your path has been, by the time you're 50 years old, you have a lot of life experience. You've done a lot. You've seen a lot. You've seen a lot of news. You've seen enough change that I think it would be unhealthy to not start craving something new and fresh. I think that would be sad, kind of, because with all of the knowledge that we're gifted now at this middle, I don't even know what middle age is anymore, but if it's some sort of middle age, we are so blessed with so much knowledge that I think, like, as a gift to ourselves for all of this work we've done so far to become this intelligent, this, you know, this sort of self-fulfilling, this, like, so much of an, you know, we know so much at this point yeah. that we should explore how we can gift this to other people. And if you're with someone or you're in a situation where someone does not encourage you to give your gifts to other people to help them, you're in the wrong relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy to say, okay, I'm going to walk away from a marriage. I'm going to walk away from financial security. I'm going to risk my relationships with friends and things like that. I mean, I'm not trying to say that it's easy by any means, but if you're not in that supportive environment, you have to be prepared that you're going to live a level of stagnant for the rest of the time then, because it just won't, like I said, it doesn't work to live in those two worlds. I would say that if there's a way to test the waters, which is something I did, like I said, I was doing Maryland for a couple years before I officially mm-hmm. started to leave. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be intelligent about making those changes and mm-hmm. respectful to the people you're with. Like, you don't just wake up one day and say, you're out of here, whatever. But I think planning what your business will look like, if that's what you want to do, like if you're changing careers, you're starting a business or pivoting in your business, just, you know, starting to catalog what that looks like. So what I do a lot is like creating mood boards. And so I have like, I'm a very visual person, obviously. So I have a visual representation of what that new phase of me looks like. You want to make sure like that you have financial safety, being very smart about money. And if you're not confident with money, it's a good time to educate yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, in many relationships, there's one person who's handling the finances and it can make it extra scary to go out on your own if that's the case. So doing sort of these homework things behind the scenes to help you build up your strength before you present what you're going to do, maybe to your spouse or your family, or you're going to like take that plunge and literally make a physical change, like move out or get an apartment or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would do that with a clear mind, and I would plan that over weeks. And some people might need years to plan that.
Yeah.
But you cannot live in a situation. I really just don't believe you can live in a situation where you're not your true self. I believe it will manifest in the form of sickness or, you know, depression or something else. I've seen it happen to people, and I think it's sad. So I think celebrate the knowledge that you have at middle age and align yourself with other people who also celebrate that. And you can, you know, you can quickly form a great team of people that you'll have mm-hmm. for support. Even us, right? We support.
Yeah, people. Exactly.
Cool stuff, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Amanda, yeah, that is so beautiful. I love the way you said that. And I love this idea that like we've learned so much, we've experienced so much, and it would be strange for us not to want to question what comes next. And I think it is like a paradigm shift, right? Because I think when we look at our mothers at this age very much were like, oh, well, it's winding down, right? It's like, yeah. like, it's like that meme. It's a bit extreme, but it's yeah. like showing the Golden Girls against J-Lo at 50, right?
Exactly.
But there is some truth to that in terms of how we look at ourselves. And so yeah. I find that women at this age, there is this sort of internal struggle of like, well, I don't feel like that. Mm-hmm. But also I'm having all these challenges and we feel like we should have it all figured out and we should know it ourselves and it should be so clear to us and why don't yeah. I have it all? But I think that looking at it, like, this is like your life evolving. This is you growing mm-hmm. and expanding. And of course you're not going to want exactly the same things anymore because you are getting to know yourself now, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a time too when we can educate ourselves in spaces that are actually very interesting to us. Many of us have had children and we have been so focused on making sure the children have everything, the house is well taken care of. Many people mm-hmm. have parents they're caring for as well. And so there's a lot of time in that space where it's all about other people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay at this stage of life to be like, I have helped you and maybe I continue to help you, but the truth is you don't need the same level of help. It's my time to learn about what I like, to educate myself in spaces that are interesting to me. And this can be in the form of, you know, maybe you've always wanted to paint and you're going to try something like that. Maybe you want to learn to sew. Maybe you want to learn a language. Maybe you want to go on a cruise. You know, maybe you want to try putting up wallpaper or painting or I don't know what. Like, there's so many ways that we can educate ourselves in the form of things that we actually want. And maybe we've always wanted to learn it and we haven't had a chance, you know. But usually at this age, people have children who are old enough that can, you know, be a degree of self-sufficient on their own. And then this allows you new time opportunities to gift yourself the education that you always wanted.
Yeah, I love that. Amanda, I want to know about what you're working on now. Like, what are you working on now? And also, what do you want to be doing more of as you look to your, you know, next chapter of life or next decade of life or whatever? What is coming up for you?
You're asking me this at a great time because the Marilyn Dennis show finished last June. After 12 years of being associated with that show and happily, it was odd to me when it was done. I didn't think it was going to bother me, but then when it wasn't there anymore, I had to actually think, like, what do I do with this time now? Yeah. So I kind of was in this position to say, okay, I have the time now to fill or relax, and fill it, that could mean by relaxing, that could be by taking on a new hobby, whatever. And so what I decided to do, I guess you would call it like a resolution, but I don't know if that's the right word for it. But last year I said to myself, for this year, so for 2024, I'm going to make an effort to work with or align myself with people who I feel had touched me creatively last year and I want to do more with, or who I perceive to be doing better in their field than I am. So I want to align myself with people who are doing things that are different, people who are doing it better, people who are from other countries, other walks of life. And I literally put that out there to the universe and I was like, okay, universe, like, what are we doing? And I'm telling you, it was the most dry 2 weeks of January. I was like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Did I get the message? Or is there a confusion in the lines? Because normally our design business.
Did you hear what I said?
I was like, did I say it in the wrong language? Did I say it at the wrong date? Was I supposed to look for a symbol? And it was really quiet. And normally I would be very full, like about, you know, 6-8 months worth of work full at the beginning of the year. And that was not the case this year. So I kind of let life play itself out. I had some personal things I was working on. I was trying to get my grandmother moved from one place to another and help my mother settle in a new condo. And so I was sort of gifted the time to do that. And then it was like the floodgates of opportunity open. And I just started seeing, like, I had like one conversation with one company. I was like, this is so interesting. This would tie in great with this other company. And then like that other company reached out to me. And now going forward, I have an awesome collaboration that I'm working on with a furniture company out of the UK. We'll be shooting all this content for this in June and it'll release around next fall, which is awesome. It's fantastic chic furniture that goes together with no tools. Like it blows my mind. We've been working on this for a while. It's coming to fruition.
Incredible.
It's really cool. And then I have a really great flooring collaboration happening. So flooring has traditionally been a very male dominated industry. And I've been able to sort of put myself into male-dominated industries before it with molding and with faucets. And so I'm kind of doing that same thing now. And so there'll be like a very sexy, affordable line of flooring coming out. And we're using the word like sexy because it's literally such a boring subject. We're going to make it unboring.
Let's make flooring sexy.
That'll be launching in the fall. And then fashion. So I have a couple fashion collaborations. And I'm going to be traveling to Europe in the summer for a nice, long, extended tour of photographing and filming a bunch of content for an interview series that I'm doing with tastemakers in various industries across Canada and Europe. So that's pretty awesome. That's what I have for this year. I'm super excited about it. That's what I have. So it's like everything related to lifestyle, I guess, because it's like home and design and fashion, but also in line with like seeing what other cool people are doing. I literally just want to interview them. I'm going to be like the Oprah Winfrey of design and like interview other cool people about what they're doing. So I think that's inspiring for us, you know? So sort of like what you're doing too. You're like interviewing other people to get, you know, inspiration. And that's what I'm doing too.
Okay, but now I need to call in doing that while I travel around the world. Okay, that's got to be my next
one. So I'm doing it traveling around. Like I just like, because when I started this like collaboration with the UK company, I was like, okay, well, like I love, like I have a more is more aesthetic. So for me, anything that's sort of trickling down from Europe is definitely my speed. Mm-hmm. And so when I had this opportunity come up, I was like, I just need to expand on this more because there's so much that relates to me design wise in Europe. So we're going to have like Toronto and Europe, like big explosion of fun.
I think it's so incredible how you are continuing to be so intentional about where you want to go. I think it's very inspiring. And I hope that like, you know, our listeners who are listening right now are feeling that same way, that like, what if I just, you know, tuned into what I want and mm-hmm. ask for it, right? And it's not that you don't like take action, but like, it's like, ask for what it is that you want and don't hold back.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think if you feel kind of scared, that's the thing you should do. Yeah. I think we get very afraid of like that fear or like, what if it doesn't work? Yeah. And I'm just like, you know what? If it doesn't work, it's not my health. Like, big deal.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Someone who's never tried anything is going to criticize me on it. Whatever. Yeah. You know what? Like, and we have to, again, the choice thing, we have to celebrate this because in Canada, as women, we have a lot of choice. And we have to take advantage of that. You know, it's not this, as we know, it's not like this for women across the world. And so we have opportunity to reinvent. We have opportunity to make choices or pivot if it's not going well or, you know, so I think that should be celebrated. But it can feel scary, but that's when you should do it. Not jumping off of things scary. Just like I'm a little nervous to walk on stage, scary, right?
Yes, yes. Oh, that is excellent advice. I totally agree with that 100%. So, Amanda, I can't believe it, but we're actually at our last question for our chat today. And this is a question I ask all of my guests on the show. And that is, what do you think it means to be all you are?
To me, being all you are is, first, looking after yourself so that you can then share all of your gifts to the world. I think it's about you first. So being all you are is about looking after yourself first, so then you can turn around and share all of the gifts that you have to the world. Because I think that has the biggest impact. That level of kindness continues mm-hmm. and continues like this.
Yes, the kindness you're saying, this kindness that you show to yourself, that's what you can truly pass on to others in addition to your other gifts. But it starts with that kindness to yourself.
It totally does. It does. Yeah, totally.
Amanda, I love this conversation so much. It did not disappoint.
Me too. I love it. It was a great conversation. And you're such, you know, an excellent host because your questions are very interesting as well. And thank you for asking them.
Oh, thank you, Amanda. I look forward to continuing to follow you and what you're doing. And for everybody listening, all of Amanda's details are going to be in the show notes. So you can follow her on Instagram and, you know, keep connected to all the amazing things that she's doing. And Amanda, again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. What a nice thing to do today. Thank you.
So what did you think? I really love when Amanda talked about being kind to yourself as a way of stepping into all you are. I think that's such a beautiful thought that when we can show ourselves kindness, then that kindness automatically radiates to other people. And when you think about people you know in your life who are not kind or who are frustrated easily or get upset easily or always criticizing and judging others, what do you think their inner dialogue looks like? It's very likely that they are even harsher with themselves. So I think that was so wise and beautiful. I wanted to remind you about the workshop series that is coming up on Monday, May 13th. Let's give 2 weeks' notice to what no longer serves you. Let's create a path to that next level, soul-fulfilling level of success. Let's create a life with more meaning, and let's talk about the path to actually getting there, because there is one, and we're going to talk about it in this workshop. You can join me at allyouare.ca/2-weeks-notice, or head right down into the show notes and join me. What are you waiting for? You need to be there with me. We are going to have some real conversations, and we are going to step into all we are. I can't wait to see you then. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Be All You Are. Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram, or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear, we need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.